This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Let's talk about how Petronas might be selling some of its stakes, because our Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad told Reuters yesterday that Malaysia is considering selling stakes in the energy giant Petronas to provinces where the company's oil and gas fields are, in a bid to raise funds for the debt-laden government.
Yeah, such a move may also give states such as Sabah and Sarawak a say in running of Petronas, which is the world's third largest exporter of liquefied natural gas. Now, Tun Mahathir said the government could not meet the demand made by the states for a quadrupling of oil royalties to 20%, and said that Petronas is fully owned by the government, so it's up to the government to sell shares privately, not in the market, to states like Sabah and Sarawak, and added that Petronas is a very big company, so it will depend on how much Sabah and Sarawak can pay for it.
Sarawak and neighbouring Sabah have Malaysia's most prolific oil and gas reserves in their waters in the South China Sea. Now, their long-standing demand to increase royalties could cost Petronas up to $7 billion or 29 billion ringgit a year. Mahathir has said that the government could also cut stakes in smaller listed or unlisted units of Petronas, which it has done yesterday, because there were blocks of Petronas Gas, Petronas Dagangan and MISC stocks done off-market. He added that the government needs to reduce its involvement and the number of shares that it holds in order to raise some funds for themselves. Now, as we know from the transactions yesterday, Petronas is still the majority shareholder. So, you know, in terms of cutting stakes, there's still a long way to go.
And we also did have over the weekend Petronas CEO Tan Sri Wan Zulkifli Wan Arifin saying in an interview with The Edge that it's actually not possible to increase the oil royalties paid to oil and gas producing states to 20%. And because production costs are high, profit margins are low. And he did explain how the company actually only makes a profit margin of 3.7% from oil production locally after accounting for things like production costs, oil royalties and tax. And this is as The Edge reported that 70% of the oil revenue is actually spent on production costs.
Yeah, and Wan Zulkifli said that such costs become even higher when it comes to ultra-deep water production, and added that the cost has increased because all the early simple reservoirs, the low-hanging fruit back in the 80s, 90s and the early 2000s, did not require as much tech as it required today. And so it really comes down to this 5 to 20% of whether it's revenue, it's profit, and 20% is obviously a bit of a too high number for them to get to.
Yeah, aside from the production cost, there's also oil royalty that has to be paid to the federal government at 5% and to the state governments at 5% too, and a petroleum income tax at 7.6%, which would then leave Petronas and production sharing contractors with a 13.4% to share. Now, from that 13.4%, yes, there's lots of maths there involved today. 30% goes to Petronas, while 70% goes to the production sharing contractors. So basically, the chairman of Petronas says that for out of every dollar in this scheme, Petronas only gets $3.7 or 15 ringgits thereabouts.
I think for every $100, they get $3.7 out of that. And I mean, I think that math says a lot right there. You're asking, Petronas is taking 3.5%, and then you want the context here is the states are getting 5% and the PSCs as well, 70% of the leftover is being spread around.
Yeah, this is on the back of the fact that the cost of production or the cost of extraction for our oil fields are high. It's not the case of, let's say, compared to Saudi Arabia, where the oil field is quite shallow. So the extraction rate, people say, is as low as like $15-$20 a barrel. So wherever oil price goes, as long as it's above $30 per barrel, the Saudis still make money. But that's not the case for us in Malaysia.
Yeah, I think this all comes back down to the fact that the manifesto said they would increase royalties from 5% to 20%, but they never specified whether it was revenue or profit, and hence why all this has come this way.
Yes, a lot of confusion indeed. And actually, we've also just had some reports saying that a total of 17 out of the 21 matters tabled by the Sabah and Sarawak governments at the Cabinet Special Committee meeting reviewing the Malaysia agreement, 17 out of these matters have been jointly approved, but there are still 4 outstanding, including these oil royalty issues and petroleum cash payments, oil minerals and oil fields, the Territorial Sea Act of 2012, as well as state rights over the continental shelf. So those issues are still being discussed between the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, as well as the chief ministers of Sabah and Sarawak. So it'll be very interesting indeed to watch the outcome of that. But also just on another local news note this morning. A coalition of international NGOs have released a report today implicating several Malaysian banks in financing palm oil companies that pose a fire risk. Now, this report was compiled by the Rainforest Action Network, along with Indonesian NGOs Tuk Indonesia, Jika Lahari and Walhi, as well as Dutch-based Profundo.
Yeah, the report identified 17 corporate groups which have plantation subsidiaries in Indonesia that experienced fires in their concessions between 2015 and 2019 and hence are deemed as a fire risk by the report. The list includes Malaysian companies such as Batu Kawan Group, TH Group and Genting Group.
Now, the report claims that these companies collectively received over $19 billion in loans and underwriting since 2015, and that Malaysian banks, including the likes of Maybank and CIMB Group, are the third largest creditors overall after China and Indonesia.
So, taking a look at some of the specific financial details, right? According to the report, Malaysian banks provided a total of $2.3 billion worth of loans between 2015 and August of this year, 2019. And Chinese banks were the largest source of financing for this period, lending $5.8 billion. Indonesian banks provided $4.5 billion. Singapore banks provided $1 billion. Now, Maybank was named as the second largest individual financier, which channeled over $1 billion in finance to the companies named, while CIMB Group provided almost $750 million in finance, according to the report.
Now, putting the figures into context for the overall total loans based on Bloomberg data, as of 30th September 2019, Maybank has a total loans of 525 billion ringgit, or about $126 billion, while CIMB Group has total loans of about 360 billion ringgit, which is about $87 billion.
Now, the question about this is that the report alleges that Malaysian banks have very weak ESG policies and safeguards when it comes to the forest and plantation sector, ESG being the shorthand for environmental, social and governance. Now, the report cites a 2018 survey called the Forest and Finance Project conducted by the same coalition of NGOs. The survey found that Malaysian banks perhaps scored among the lowest for ESG policies relating to forest risk sectors. But I think this is a story that is, you know, that will be revealed. More details will come off, will be known. Because at this current juncture, I mean, we are probably going to continue coverage of this.
Indeed. And there is going to be a press conference held at 11 a.m. today. So we will be keeping an ear out and we will be providing you with more coverage as we find more details ourselves. But right now we're heading into the 7:30 news. And up next, we'll be talking about the possibility of a tariff delay on China by the U.S., as well as a new trade deal replacing NAFTA. Now that's happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.